The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, a very personal and historically significant message from Pope Francis to the evangelic community.
If God is in you, and you're in God, and God is in me, and I'm in God, we are one together in God. I'm not united in you, I'm united to you in Christ.
Bishop Tony Palmer expresses his desire to join the Pope in his pursuit and passion for unity among all believers. Next.
All of you, and we welcome you live today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have Bishop Tony Palmer with us. This is a real answer to prayer, because here is a really truly spirit-filled evangelical from the Anglican Episcopal Church. Now, we've got some rifts in some of the Episcopal Church where some of them were really wondering what in the world they're doing as far as what they think about marriage and so forth. That's not where he is. He's overseas and all over the world, and he's a soul winner and a witness. But he developed a relationship and a friendship with a man who happened to become the Pope, Pope Francis. It's a miracle what God's doing, and I want you to welcome a man that I believe is a part of seeing the prayer of Jesus answered in our day, that we become supernaturally perfected in unity. Not sameness, unity. Would you welcome Bishop Tony Palmer to Life Today? Bishop. Good to be here. I really appreciate you. We have been a supporter and an encourager of your work, your mission outreach. Right. Let me just ask you, how in the world did you come to meet the man who is now Pope and actually not only be a friend, but remain a friend? What? Tell us a little bit about that.
It was back in 2006. I was asked to go down to Argentina to work with the charismatic Catholics because they have quite a charismatic revival going on within the Catholic Church and has been for almost 50 years. So it's protocol. Whenever we go into a diocese of another bishop, we visit the bishop, ask him if we can work in his diocese. And that's exactly how we met. When he found out that my wife, being a charismatic Catholic herself and our children, he thought it was quite entertaining, so he offered a friendship to me immediately. I was this evangelical Anglican and married to a charismatic Catholic. So I said, look, we're covering all the bases here. So he offered me a friendship. And 2 years after that, 2008, I asked if he'd be my mentor and a spiritual father to me, and our relationship just deepened from there.
He loves Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Now, after you got to be Pope, did you wonder if your friendship would, continue to where there'd be some communication?
I'll just backstep, if you don't mind, one
sure.
step here. And Pentecost last year, when we were celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, I was invited to be with him at the Vatican for the celebration, where there was 450,000 charismatic, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Catholics singing, Come Holy Spirit. So it's quite a thing. And he went around in his Pope mobile, greeting everybody, and they were all shouting, Francis, Francis, Francis. And when he got to the pulpit, his first words were, why are you shouting my name? You should be shouting Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mm. Wow. So yes, he's incredibly Christ-centric.
I can see that. Oh, and he loves people.
Oh, he loves people. Yes, absolutely. And how I got to my relationship with him, when he became Pope, it wasn't really a surprise. I knew that he was Pope material, but it was obviously exciting to see my spiritual father become Pope. But now that he'd have been given a new job description, I'm sober and mature enough to know probably my relationship will change. But it didn't.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was just after Christmas. I was having some free time with my son, who's almost 18 now, watching TV. And I get a phone call on my cell phone. I was lying down on the couch. I reach over, pick up my cell phone. I said, Tony Palmer. And he says, Pope Francis. I ran upstairs to my office and asked, why are you calling me? And he said, well, basically, it's time for us to visit. We haven't seen each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. He asked me when I was going to be in Rome next. I said, well, fortunately, I'll be there in two weeks' time. He said, can you pop in and see me in my private residence and we'll spend the morning together? I said, that would be great. That was how we met in January.
So
January
it wasn't 14. Just a little handshake. He actually saw you right in his apartment.
Yeah, we spent the morning together.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, to be honest with you. Now, tell us what happened, because the Pope wants to say something to you.
Yeah.
He wants to say something to evangelicals, to Protestants. Outside the Catholic circle, he wanted to talk to all of us as Protestant evangelicals who love Jesus and who pray for everybody and for him. So what happened?
January 14, I'm sat talking, just like here, visiting. And I was telling him that the week to follow, I'd be in North America, be here in Texas, Fort Worth, at a conference where it would be for evangelical Protestant leaders, about 3,000. And I said, out of respect, would he like to give them a word through me so I could just greet the brothers? And he said, sure, he'd love to do that. So I waited for a moment for him to say something, and I said, must I write it down? He said, well, let's make a video. So we speak in Italian together because his mother tongue, Spanish, mine was obviously English, but our meeting language is Italian. So I needed to understand. I said, you want me to reach in my pocket for my iPhone and take a video? He said, that's exactly what I want to do. So impromptu, we took out my iPhone, switched it on, and he gave a 7-minute greeting and a call to the evangelicals.
And here it is. Let's listen. Would you like to hear that? Like to hear what he says? Here we go.
Dear brothers and sisters, excuse me because I speak in Italian, but I cannot speak in English. But I will speak no Italian, no English, but carefully. È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio e una grammatica speciale. La grammatica semplice. Due regole, ama Dio soprattutto e ama l'altro perché è tuo fratello e la tua sorella. E con queste due cose andiamo avanti. Io sono qui con mio fratello, mio vescovo fratello Tony Pannan. Siamo amici da anni. E lui mi ha detto del vostro compegno, del vostro raduno. Con piacere vi invio un saluto. Un saluto gioioso e nostalgico. Gioioso perché a me dà gioia che voi siete riuniti per lodare Gesù Cristo, l'unico Signore. E pregare al Padre e ricevere lo Spirito. E questo dà gioia perché si vede che il Signore lavora in tutto il mondo. È nostalgico perché, ma succede come nei quartieri fra noi, no? Nei quartieri ci sono famiglie che si vogliono e famiglie che non si vogliono, famiglie che si uniscono e famiglie che si separano. E noi siamo un po', mi permetto la parola, separati. Separati perché i peccati ci hanno separati, i nostri peccati. I malintesi nella storia, ma una lunga strada di peccato comunitario. Ma chi ha la colpa? Tutti abbiamo la colpa. Tutti siamo peccatori, eh? Soltanto uno è giusto, il Signore. E io ho la nostalgia che questa separazione finisca e ci dia la comunione. Io ho la nostalgia di quell'abbraccio di qua, nel quale parla la Sacra Scrittura. Quando i fratelli di Giuseppe, affamati, sono andati a Egitto, per comprare, per poter mangiare. Ma andavano a comprare, avevano i soldi, ma non potevano mangiare i soldi. E lì hanno trovato qualcosa più del pasto, hanno trovato il fratello. Tutti noi abbiamo dei soldi, i soldi della cultura, i soldi della nostra storia, di tante ricchezze culturali, anche religiose, tradizioni diverse. Ma dobbiamo trovarci come fratelli. E dobbiamo piangere insieme, come ha fatto Giuseppe. Quel pianto che unisce, pianto dell'amore. Io vi parlo come fratello, e vi parlo così semplicemente, con gioia e nostalgia. Facciamo crescere la nostalgia, perché questo ci spingerà a trovarci, abbracciarci e a lodare Gesù Cristo come unico Signore della storia. Vi ringrazio tanto per sentirmi. Vi ringrazio tanto per lasciarmi parlare la lingua del cuore. E vi chiedo anche un favore, di pregare per me, perché ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere. Io prego per voi, lo farò, ma io ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere e pregare al Signore perché ci unisca tutti. E avanti, siamo fratelli, ci diamo spiritualmente questo abbraccio e lasciamo che il Signore finisca l'opera che Lui ha incominciato. Perché questo è un miracolo, il miracolo dell'unità è incominciato. E dice uno scrittore italiano, il Manzoni, famoso, dice questa frase in un romanzo, un uomo semplice del popolo dice questa frase: non ho trovato mai che il Signore abbia incominciato un miracolo senza finirlo bene. Lui finirà bene questo miracolo dell'unità. Vi chiedo di benedirmi e io vi benedico. Di fratello a fratello. Un abbraccio. Grazie.
Pope Francis, let me just say to you that I see Jesus in you. And in Christ, we are brothers, we're family. Thank you for speaking the language of love, that all may come to know Him and love one another. Tony, that is incredible. I have had a longing in my heart for many years now to see the prayer of Jesus answered, that we be one with the Father God through Christ, perfected and sanctified in truth, not divided by it, and then perfected in unity, the supernatural unity Jesus prayed for. I personally feel like this is a step in the right direction for us to really come to Christ and not be separated brethren, not divide over differences as we see them. We may not even see clearly.
Right.
And we tend to look at our view as the only view, and sometimes we don't even hear truth at all.
Correct. See, diversity is divine. It's division that's diabolic.
Yes.
And we often, because of our insecurities, we are unable to handle and to hold in tension diversity. For us, we think that something different is something wrong, and it's not. It's just something not the same.
And God likes that, by the
way.
Well,
look at the creation. We see diversity all around us.
Absolutely.
Diversity is divine, without a doubt. It's the division that is diabolic. And what's important for us to understand that Jesus' prayer in John 17, Jesus' theology is that if God is in you, and you're in God, and God is in me, and I'm in God, we are one together in God.
Absolutely.
So I'm not one. I'm not united in you. I'm united to you in Christ. And this is the hope of glory. Jesus prayed, Father, the glory you've given me, I have given them. What is the glory? The glory, Paul who wrote, he said, that the glory, the hope of glory is Christ in us.
Absolutely.
And so we need to recognize this and understand that unity already exists. It's a scriptural fact. Our sin is that we don't make our unity visible because we allow our diversities to divide us. And if we elevate anything to divide us, we are elevating it above the cross. So whether it's a dogma or a doctrine or an expression, if you use that to divide our unity, you have elevated that doctrine or whatever it may be above the cross. Now, we're not saying put doctrine aside. Absolutely not. In fact,
Of course not, because we speak correction in order that we maintain the family relationship
Absolutely.
With God and one another.
But please, let's note what Pope Francis did here. Pope Francis, he said we need two things, two rules. Love God first and foremost with all our heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor like ourselves. And people are getting angry about this because they're saying, well, what about the doctrine? But that is doctrine. That's Jesus' doctrine. Because when the lawyer asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, but you're the lawyer. What does the law say? And the lawyer said, to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responded, do this and live. Mm-hmm. End of doctrine.
I'm telling you, the gates of hell tremble at the thought of God's people loving God and loving one another. And you'll never love God without knowing Him through Christ and the cross. And you will never love your neighbor properly if you don't start loving God with all your heart, soul, mind,
That's right.
and truth. You want to say thanks to Tony for bringing back that message. And he's going back to be with the Pope, and we are specifically asking that he would meet with some evangelical leaders.
That's right.
And perhaps even some business leaders
Absolutely.
From the United States so that he could encourage prayer for a nation that has known freedom and has been so charitable and benevolent throughout the years because of that great foundation that is totally biblical. And we want people praying for us. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony, you are a missionary.
I am.
And you know our mission director, Steve Coetzee.
Very well.
You're very close.
Yes.
So you know when we hold up a little bowl like this and we're trying to feed people, or you've seen us drilling the water wells and working all over the world, you see that when you give people water for life or food, they'll listen to you when you meet that need. Now, this is what I want us to do. I want you to look, and I really believe, Betty, it's really good if we can learn to look through the eyes of Jesus and see what he sees so we can put the arms of his Father around the suffering, which is what his body does. Now, I want you to listen to the heart of mothers and a mother and see the need that I believe we together can meet. Watch very prayerfully, please.
Mothers like Dominga usually find joy in talking about their children. But for Dominga, there is no joy. Her stories are filled with sadness and anxiety because her children are malnourished due to the lack of food in their village caused by years of drought. The look of despair in Dominga's eyes speaks of her constant worry that the day is coming when her children's health will reach a point of them no longer developing properly. As the harsh sun continues to take its toll on the land, Dominga's fears of her children's health deteriorating has become a reality for scores of other mothers like Maria and her child Antonio. Maria traveled miles by foot to this rural clinic in a desperate attempt to save Antonio's life. Severe malnutrition has set in motion the outward signs that Antonio's body is starting to shut down because of the lack of food. Dominga's children urgently need help now. Otherwise, they could soon find themselves in a malnutrition clinic fighting for their lives.
I really think it's important for you to understand that we try to get these children before they would ever get to that place. We give the resources necessary to support those clinics. But that is the last step. And most of the mothers whose children reach that point, they don't even get to the clinic. If we can get to the children, Betty, which we've been doing for years now, about 25 years, we've been finding children where they're hungry. And like right now in Angola, there's a terrible drought. There are 100,000 children suffering desperately. And I'm praying because we can literally feed 10 children for several months for $100. So I'm praying, this very specific prayer, that there'd be a 1,000 people who would right now give $1,000. Maybe you can be one of those. And that will take care of 100 children, and then that would meet the need for those 100,000. Then we've got 400,000 in those feeding lines that you and I've stood in so long.
Many, many times we've watched them, James, and many, many times we would be there and we would run out of the food because it's hard to judge how much you might need, and always, always, the lines are longer than we would expect them to be. And it's always been our prayer, and it was especially my prayer when we began this journey of helping children get the food, that the nourishment that they need, was that the lines reaching out in hope with the food would be longer than the lines of the children coming to get the food. And that's still a desire of my heart, James, that we can be ready for them, because they will come. They are desperate, and their mothers will bring the children because they love their children so much, and they see them at death's door so many, many times. And so our heart is that you'll join with us, and let's be ready for the children because they will come. They're hungry.
This is probably one of the first times that seeing that prayer answer appears to be threatened because of this terrible drought. That's why I made the very, very definite, specific request for, I put it in plain terms, we need 1,000 people. And you know, it's one person at a time giving $1,000, because we want to take care of another 100,000 that are really in critical condition. That was in Angola where you saw that clinic. And we've got the children ready, and we've been in so many areas where they were dying, and we stopped the death cycle. And Betty, we watched them where they were graves of little children, and then we began to feed because our viewers helped us. And then we got the children singing in church and thanking God. So what I'm asking you to do right now is go and get your bank card like a check, dial the number and use that card like it's a check, and make a gift for $30 or $50 or $100 or the $1,000 if you can, and we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for $30, $50, or $100. I'm asking you to make a gift. We want to send you a book that I wrote, A Dad's Blessings, and I'm telling you, this is for everybody. If you're a dad, or whether you just want to hear what a dad, what his blessing is. And our son wrote a book, Rise Above, How to Literally Be Lifted by the Truth of God and by Faith Above All the Challenges and Circumstances. Phenomenal book. Just to say thank you. Then we have some other gifts that you're going to cherish, and a beautiful glass sculpture to thank those of you who will help us reach out to that additional 100,000 children. Would you go right now, dial the number, take your bank card, or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much for doing it. From the bottom of our heart, thank you for doing it now.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation. And those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for our feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you this inspirational two-book gift set. A Dad's Blessing by James Robison is packed with valuable fatherly wisdom and insight for dads of all ages. Rise Above by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison, will show you how to soar far above the circumstances of life and go higher in your walk with God. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you'll receive our Blessing Bowls, a great way to teach your family about giving and a daily reminder of God's provision for hungry and hurting children. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
If you could help us take care of 100 children, make that $1,000 gift, The Blessing, a glass sculpture. And you know, we've been talking about the need for us to come together, and Tony Palmer, Bishop Palmer's been here. Tony, the Catholic Church throughout Africa have compounds that are secure. We don't allow the government to take care of any of our resources, not anywhere in the world. We don't trust them. But the Catholics kept our food. Here we are, evangelical mission outreach. Right. They kept all of our food secure. Don't you want to see the prayer of Jesus answered and Christians really become a family who behave like the wonderful Father we've got? Would you say thank you to Bishop Tony Palmer, to the Pope for his message, and pray for unity. Tony, we love you, and we'll be praying for you as you go back to see Pope Francis.
Yes.
And pray that we can have a great coming together.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all would come to know Christ and love Him and love one another?
Amen.
What a day. What a day.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Matt Swatzel caused a tragic car accident that claimed the lives of Eric Fitzgerald's wife and unborn son. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.